Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and the title of this evening's message is No Room in the Inn. And I know we just heard the lady sing about the no room. And the idea here behind the message, many of you probably think of the connection with Christmas, where it talks about in Luke 2:7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And tonight we're going to look at the thought, is there room for Christ in your Christmas schedule? Is there room for Christ in your Christmas schedule? I've heard many messages about that no room in the inn, talking about to a lost person, is there room in your heart? Is there a place in your life? And he's God. It's not just a room in your heart. He expects your whole heart. And it's believing and trusting in him. But got to take that thought tonight and think about it. Do we put Christ in our Christmas schedule? And you said, "Pastor, Sunday night, I'm here at church." Of course. And I get that. But we're going to look at some different priorities. And with how hectic and how busy things are today, we want to kind of have the big picture of what Christmas means and the Christmas season. And make sure that we're walking, as it says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15, circumspectly. We looked at this passage this morning in our Sunday school class and talked about that also talks about circumference and the idea having the big picture of things. We talk about couples and relationships and how we miss the point sometimes. When we get married, we get so busy, we forget to spend time with one another, and we lose the opportunity and the big picture of things, the person that God's given us. One of the highest priorities in our life, the highest priority is a relationship with God. Secondarily, our highest priority should be a relationship with our spouse. If you don't have a spouse, then obviously a relationship with your family, and then also your relationship with your ministry and work, all these different things, but having the proper perspective. We know that the innkeeper had no room for them. He sent them out to the stable. We think about Herod. They came to Herod and told Herod there was going to be a king born, and as Brother Barry talked a little bit about last night, he didn't really want to worship him. He had no room for Christ. And even about those religious people, I think the Bible talks about them being the scribes and the chief priests. He asked them, "Where's Jesus supposed to be born at? Where's the king supposed to be born at?" And as Brother Barry said last night, only 20 miles away. That someone saying that they saw the star in the east, probably traveled for 2 years. You would think one of those religious leaders would have had enough time and effort to put Christ in their schedule and say, "You know what? I'm going to go see what these crazy men are talking about." But they didn't. And the amazing thing that's seen in so many places today, in so many churches today, is Christ is being left right out of the Christmas schedule. Now, I know at church, we're centered here, we're focused on Christ, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to sing about it. But what about outside of church? Do we put Christ in the middle of it? Do we put Christ, are we missing the point of it? I know a lot of people around here get upset and get mad when they use the word Xmas. And I don't really like it either, because what are they doing? They're exactly taking the word Christ and saying, "We don't want you in this," and we put the word X there instead. And we get upset about that. I think that there's some validity to that. But sometimes we take Christ right out of the month of December and set him aside and say, "Boy, I'm too busy. I got activities. I got programs, I got family, I got gifts, I got all these different things going on. Who has time to put Christ as a priority?" So here's some things I'd like to think about tonight. Do you have room for Christ in your Christmas schedule? Is there no room for him in the inn? Is there any room for him in your life today? First thing I want you to think about is remember the big picture. When you look at Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verses 15 through 18. Once again, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Very simple message tonight. I think it's going to get right to the point, and I think I understand what's being across. Consider the big picture. If it's Christ's birth, the reason why Christ came to die for sinners, what should be one of the highest priorities in our life? It should be Christ. If we're celebrating, anytime you go to a birthday celebration, usually the person that is the key figure in the middle of that is the person's birthday. They sing to him. They bring gifts to him. They talk to him. They sometimes say nice to him, things to him, even if they don't deserve it. Well, you know what? Jesus Christ deserves all that, all praise and all. So when you consider the big picture, when it's talking about here, walk circumspectly, is that word circumspect comes from the idea of circumference and seeing things as a big picture. Remember, all the things that we do should point to worshiping Christ and point to bringing other people to Christ. You say, well, I like to give gifts. That is a form of Christmas, isn't it? We receive the greatest gift that day when Jesus Christ came to this world. And yes, it's something as important as we show gifts. We're showing our appreciation and love for one another, but we're reminded of that great gift. So here in this passage of Scripture, let's remember the big picture when we serve Christ. I was reading a devotion a few days ago, in my preaching schedule, this had come up, and just looking around and seeing something to do every single day, and I'm not even as busy as some of you are. And somebody I was talking to and had a conversation with, I was like, it seems like every single night I have something to do. And this past Friday, our teenagers went to a thing at in Smithfield, Virginia, and that was at Calvary Baptist Church. It was a Journey of Christmas, and people I talked to said it was really, really great. I really wanted to go with them, but I had to stay, and I worked a little bit longer and worked on my sermons, had to get some other things done. It's just there's priorities that you have to make. Is there anything wrong with going? No, I think they had a great time. I bet you I'm praying that God spoke to many of their hearts doing it, but where is our priorities at? Are we looking at things from the big picture when we get so jam-packed and so full of doing things to remember Christmas? Do we ever remember Christ? Is he in our schedule? Is he someone you spend some time with? I wrote out a couple things here. You might like them, you might not like them, but it's kind of getting the idea of don't miss it. Don't miss the point. First thing is, many people spend hours hanging up Christmas bulbs and lights at their house, which I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think sometimes people spend sometimes days. I've seen some people's houses. I mean, it's amazing, and I enjoy looking at them. But I think there's something wrong, and you're missing the point of Christmas. If you're a Christian, you spend hours putting up Christmas lights, and you don't let your light shine. You know, people that come to your house, they may see a Christmas message within the lights, not as many manger scenes as there used to be, but you're willing to spend all this time to put Christmas lights up, but we don't let our light shine in front of people and tell them about Jesus Christ. I think you missed the point. You think about we spend time with others at Christmas. That's one of the great parts of Christmas. We fellowship with friends. We fellowship with families. But we don't spend time with God. We get so busy. We have so many different things that we have to go and go to this banquet and go to this fellowship and go to this party. You say, Pastor, you're the one that schedules all these things. I don't schedule all your stuff, obviously. But at the same time, if it means that you don't have time to spend alone with God, there's got to be some priorities in your life. And if you're going to go spend time with everybody else but the one who we're celebrating, I think we're kind of missing the point. If you consider the big picture of things, when we have time for Christmas parties and activities, but we skip church, I think we kind of miss the point there. When we can invite someone to a Christmas party or gathering, but we can't invite them to hear about the true meaning of Christmas at church, I think we're kind of missing the point. When we have money to buy gifts for everyone else, but we leave out what giving towards what God has commanded us to do. I'm not even talking about a special offering. Sometimes people give special offerings. Some churches have special Christmas offerings. Give Jesus his birthday gift. And I do my best to try to, if we have special offerings, let you know. I want God to speak to your heart about what to give. And from that, I think it's nice to give a special offering at Christmas time and remembering what Christ has done for us. And we have people that write down happy birthday Jesus on their check when they turn things in. I've never seen a check, but Miss Sharon will say, hey, look, someone mentioned this and gave it as a recognition for Jesus's birthday. And I think that's great. I don't think there's anything wrong with spending resources and trying to enjoy different things about Christmas. But I do think there's something wrong when we miss the big picture and we're willing to do this, but we're going to rob God to do it. We're missing the point when we do that. Someone can spend hours upon hours watching Hallmark movies and Christmas movies, but they can't spend time reading the Bible. And there's a problem with that. Now, I'm not picking, because I do watch a little TV myself. I even have watched a Hallmark movie or two before in my life. But I know that's a popular thing amongst lots of mainly conservative people. But now that they've changed and they start having homosexual characters in there, that gives a whole different spin to it. I understand all that. And so it disappoints us. And you know, but you can spend hours and hours and hours watching those Christmas specials on TV. We like to watch the Charlie Brown sometimes, or we like to watch this one or that one. Great. But do you spend time in his word? Those are the questions. Don't miss the point of coming to a birthday celebration to get a gift for yourself. Or don't miss the point to have come to a birthday celebration to spend time with everybody else. Don't be out there hanging up all those Christmas bulbs and then let your hide your light that God has put in your heart, the Spirit of God we talked about this morning, and put it underneath the bushel, put it underneath the bed, or hide it behind your own Christmas bulbs. So those are some things I thought about having the big picture. This past week when I was reading my devotions, I came across one that was sent to me, and it was an interesting story. I don't know if it's true or not. Sometimes when you read these preachers' illustrations, you think, well, that so fits in the message. They had to write and make that story up. But I didn't see this story, but I did read a story that says there was a mother running furiously from store to store on Christmas Eve, trying to get all those last-minute gifts. Suddenly, she realized she lost track of her 3-year-old son. In a panic, she retraced her steps, and she found him standing with his little nose pressed flatly against a frosty window. He was gazing at a manger scene. When he heard his mother call his name, he turned and shouted in an innocent glee, "Look, Mommy, it's Jesus. Baby Jesus is in the hay." The hurried mom grabbed his arm, jerked him away, snapping, "We don't have time for all that. Can't you see Mommy's trying to get ready for Christmas?" Wow. But sometimes that seems like we miss the point. And it's easy to miss the point of what God is doing in our lives when we become distracted by and wrapped up in so many other things we don't spend time with him. And once again, we get upset when people want to take that word Christ and say, "Hey, Merry Xmas," or the politically correct way is "Happy Holidays." You know, that we it's like, don't you know it's Christmas time? It's Merry Christmas. What's Happy Holidays have to do with it? It's because they don't want to say the word Christ many times. And so we get upset with that, but what do we do with our own schedules? So tonight, I want you to give us consideration. I don't want you to miss the point. I don't want you to be like those Pharisees out there. It talks about in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 to 25, when Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to... ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." What the Bible is saying there is the Pharisees missed the whole point. They cared so much about little things that would be shown to men that the Bible describes it this way, that they are willing to be strained at a gnat and swallow a camel. That means they missed the whole point of what the Bible and what the law was teaching, what Christ was teaching, what Christ was bringing. Hey, don't miss what's going on here. You're missing the whole point. You're swallowing at, you're willing to pick on one little thing, but you're swallowing so much other things. In your own life, personally, it talks about how you make the outside look so beautiful and so clean. And don't get me wrong, if you're right on the inside, I think the outside is going to be right too. But the Pharisees made everything look so good on the outside, but inside it was as dead man's bones. Inside it says full of extortion and excess. Don't fool yourself. Don't miss the big point when it comes to your Christian life. Don't let certain appearances override what you should have in that personal relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. Instead, let Christ do a work in you and let it come out. This morning is the message. We talked about the love of God some, and I like I said at the beginning of the message this morning, it's hard to try to express all the different things about the love of God, but it's when you let God work in your heart that love of God comes out. And if there's something wrong and you're having a struggle and you're having a problem, it's because of a relationship with God. If we have enough of God in us, if enough of the Holy Spirit is in us, sort of like what it says in verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we let the Holy Spirit of God direct and lead our lives, it's naturally going to come out. But there's some people in this world we're not going to be able to love on our own. There's some people in this world that it's just physically impossible. It is physically and spiritually impossible to have agape love for someone and something unless you're right with the Lord. And God produces that. That's a divine love. He has shed it abroad in our hearts, and he can produce that. Now, we can do the phileo. We can do the other type of love. We can show that. But truly to express the divine love that shows God, we need him. We need him to be leading us and guiding us. So number one is don't miss the big picture, or remember the big picture. Next thing is to remember to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Remember to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what, look at verse number 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The difference there with being drunk with wine means that the wine has power on you. It is dictating how you act, is dictating the things that you do. That's what the danger in drunk driving is, the fact that you no longer have control yourself. It's the alcohol that's controlling you, and it can become very dangerous. So what is going to dictate your schedule this Christmas season? What is going to direct your Christmas season? And I think it should be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think you have to be directed by a schedule. Schedules are good, don't get me wrong. I don't think you have to be directed by traditions. We've always done this. Okay, you've always done it. But if you're leaving Christ out of it, if you don't have time for Christ, maybe we should look at all the things that we always do. I don't think that we should allow our family to dictate everything we're going to do and not to. I don't think we need to do it by guilt. We need to get in the Bible, and we need to let the Holy Spirit of God lead us and guide us and direct us on how to keep Christ first at Christmas time and concentrate on Christ. But if our hearts is not in it, if our heart and our is not communing with God on a daily, regular basis, we're going to miss it. We're going to get caught up in everything, and we're going to get swept away with all the activities and all the busyness to where we think it's okay to miss something that lifts up Christ for something that lifts up the flesh. We're going to miss it. So I want to encourage you. Christmas is a great time to have fun and enjoy each other, enjoy different amazing things that we don't maybe do normally, but at the same time, we can't leave Christ out. The third thing I want you to think about is remember to be wise. Remember to be wise. It says in verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, talking about having a big picture. Then it says, not as fools. People who miss the point, they're being foolish. Or like Christ had said, you're being a hypocrite. Don't be hypocrite. Don't be foolish with this. Don't say one thing and do something that's different, that looks foolish and it shows. But as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, take good use of the time that God has given you. Make sure you're using the time you have. This is great opportunities to serve the Lord, great opportunities to be a witness. And the days are evil. If the days were evil back in the book of Ephesus, do you think the days are still evil today? And we would say yes, right? It's still evil today. We're still supposed to be walking circumspectly, still supposed to be redeeming the time. Then it considers here verse number 17, wherefore be not unwise. It says it again. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. I think it's amazing that God has a will for your life, even during Christmas time. I think God has a will for your life every single day. He has a desire and a plan and a purpose, and he has amazing things planned for you. Sometimes we beat people up and say, oh, they're never going to amount to anything. They can never do anything. We even to our kids and say, oh, they have no hope. Or even some type of older people, they feel like, oh, come on, they can't do anything anymore. No, if you're here and you know the Lord, there is amazing things God has planned for you. You can do things for God. And if you are willing to get in touch and in communing with God and let God work in your heart and your spirit and let that love of God come out of your life, boy, you can change this world with God's help. And that's amazing. But so often we just beat ourselves down and think, I can't change, I can't do anything, and we don't understand the love of God. And God is saying, be wise. Here, consider what the will of the Lord is. Seek God's will. God, what is it that you want me to do this Christmas season? God, what is it? How do you want me to respond? What is the way that you want me to search? What is it that you want me to seek? God, what is it that you want me to put high on the priority list in my life this Christmas season? Because he's saying, look, don't be foolish. Don't be as the unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And how do you know what the will of the Lord is? It's by letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Here's some things. Remember in Haggai, there's that phrase, consider your ways. So take for a few moments tonight and consider your ways in the last week or two. Has Christ been supreme? Has he been preeminent? I know we get busy, and I know that the schedule's already started. I mean, the first weekend we had the parade. Next weekend we had the banquet last night. Next weekend is not just Saturday we're talking about. We're talking about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the weekend after that, there's Christmas Eve service and Christmas Day. I know it's busy, and I'm okay with that. It's great to minister, great to be around your church family. But what's God's will for the rest of the time in your life? What is it that he wants you to do? So consider your ways. Are we putting Christ first? Are we taking the time to learn about and see about him? Can we read the great Christmas stories like some of the great traditional Christmas carols or the Christmas stories, but not read the Christmas story found in the Bible? We miss the point when we do that. Remember to be wise. So if we're going to be wise, here's a couple of things I think we need to work towards. Remember to seek God first. It's a familiar verse. Like I said, this evening's message is very simple. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if that's what we're supposed to do first, we're supposed to seek him first, above everything else. I'm not saying cancel every other activity and go into your room, lock your door for the next 2 weeks and come out after Christmas. I'm not saying that. Unless that's what God's will is for you, I don't think it is. But at the same time, seek him first. Put him above everything else. Show that to your family, parents. Show that to your kids. We're going to put Christ before anything else. Or even before our own family, we're going to say he's first. What are we supposed to seek first? The kingdom of God. We're supposed to see the things that he loves. Christ came to die on the cross. He was born to die. It was from Christmas to Calvary. Are we supposed to point people to that during Christmas season? Of course we are. That's the kingdom of God. Next thing, think about not only seeking him first, but checking how much you love him. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." If you truly want to know what the will of the Lord is, it's right there. He wants all of you. He wants your heart. He wants you to present your body as that living sacrifice. One of the messages this Christmas season might be talking about gifts and the great gift that he's given us and what we can give back to God. And it's the thought there is that we can give our love and our affection. But how do we show that? We keep his commandments. How do we show that? We love one another. And when we struggle with those things, it's not the fact that people are unlovable. They've always and will always be unlovable, but God still loves them. But we are not loving him the way we should. And if we will learn to keep his commandments, not make them grievous to us, instead embrace them because they're from a God who loves us. And if our goal is, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, if that's what we're seeking for, let's seek it even now more than ever during Christmas season. It's the time where people's hearts are open. It's the time where we have even greater opportunities to minister. It is a time where we can bring even greater glory to the Lord by putting him first. Now, I like looking at Christmas decorations. I do. I like riding around and looking at them. I enjoy that. But you know what's even greater is to see someone's light shining to a sin and dark world. When you see someone with Christ on them and Christ in control, the Holy Spirit leading them, and the joy that they have, and the comfort, and the way that God uses them, it's better than any bright light on someone's house. So and the great thing is, we can all be that way. God can show and demonstrate all of us through that way. So tonight, think about this. What is my priorities? Consider your ways. Am I having a time where I'm reading the Bible with my family? If not, let's make that a priority. If we can spend hours at a mall or at a gym or at a play or something else like that, whatever it is that you spend lots of times doing, and we don't spend even a little bit of time seeking God, we've missed the point. And we need to not just put the bulbs on the front of our house, we need to let that light shine out of our lives too. Seek Him first. Don't act as foolish things. Don't miss the point like the Pharisees. They were willing to strain at that gnat and swallow a camel. That's just what illustrative type imagination there. Wow. It's because of the fact that they're saying you're missing the point. Don't miss the point this Christmas season. Put Him first. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to the things He's called you to do. Don't have time for everything else, but leave God out. And then when someone says happy holidays to you, don't say Merry Christmas in some type of snooty way. Just rejoice and say Merry Christmas to them. So that way they can know and they can see the love of Christ. When we deal with what's inside and our relationship with Him, He naturally lets it come out of us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. He says, I don't have love. I have struggle showing it. You don't have to do the work. You let Him do the work in you on the inside. It naturally comes out. And that's the love of God. That's the peace of God. That's the joy of God. All fruits of the Spirit are inside of you. If you'll give and let Him lead and direct you, you can exhibit those fruits of the Spirit. You can if you let God have rule and reign in your life. Where does it begin? With that relationship you have with Him. So don't be unwise. Redeem the time. Walk circumspectly. Consider the big picture. Okay, people are lost, dying and going to hell. That's the reason why Christ came to this world. That's the whole reason why we have Christmas. I'm not going to take that and put that in the back burner because that was the whole reason I'm going to do something and help bring people to Christ because that's what's going to bring glory and honor to God. The other stuff, there's a lot of amazing things that people get to do at Christmas time that they don't get to do other times of year. Family you get to see, traditions that you get to have, certain things you may watch, certain things you may be a part of, certain things. It's great. It's fantastic. Just don't leave Christ out. Not just don't leave Him out. Put Him as a priority in your life. That innkeeper, over the years, have heard songs written about Him. He's heard messages preached about Him that you didn't have any room for Jesus in the inn. And you know, let's not, as Christians and believers, take Christ out of our schedules either. Let's make sure He's first. Husbands, take the lead here and say, "Hey, look, we're going to put Christ first. Let's pray together." Let's worship Him together. Let's do some things that are going to help bring people to Christ or bring people to the church or bring things that is going to lift up and glorify God as a family. We're still going to have all those fun times. We're still going to do all these great things, but we're going to make sure we don't leave Christ out of Christmas. If we don't show them, who's going to show them? As a church, if we don't put Him first, then who else is going to do it? Consider your ways. So, no room. Now, there is a thought there. Is Christ in your life today? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior? Are you saying you don't want anything to do with Him? That's what Herod did. Herod says, "You just let me know so I can come worship Him." It was a lie that he told. The innkeeper, "Nope, no room for you." Those religious leaders, it still amazes me that they wouldn't travel those 20 miles to go see Christ. They had no interest in Him. Tonight, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been pushing Him away and say, "I have no room for Him, I have no desire for Him, I have no part"? See what the Bible says. Understand what the will of God is. He is not willing that any should perish. Come to Him the way that God only says a man can come, and that's through Jesus Christ. Accept Him. And if you're a believer here tonight, do you have room for Him? Of course, Pastor, He's in my life. Is He in your Christmas schedule? Not just church, because that's something you're supposed to do. Sometimes people pat themselves back, "Hey, I made church tonight." And great, I'm glad. You were obedient to God's word. But what about the rest of your schedule? Do you have Christ in it? If not, consider ways to put Christ into your Christmas. Let's pray.